Speaking with Carbondale football coach Brian Lee. Coach, first of all, how's practice been? You know, you've been back in action now kind of with these contact days the past week and a half or so. And what's different? What's the same? How are they going?
I got to tell you, like, you do nothing but, like, all summer you hope for football, you root for football, you keep in contact with your kids. And then we finally got our contact days, you know, September 7th. And for the first 2 days, I was like, whoa, I'm not sure that this is exactly what we were rooting for.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, you know that kids have been inactive, and you know that they've been living a whole different lifestyle. But you come out those first couple of days, and it was just like, oh, I feel like we were like 3 or 4 years ago as opposed to what we were. Mm-hmm. And it was a little disconcerting. It was funny. Afterwards, we just all looked at ourselves, shook our heads and kind of scratched our heads and like, what was that? But by the beginning of this week, like, things are back where they're supposed to be. Like, the routine is here. The kids, they're not in perfect shape yet, but they're getting there. And, you know, for us, like, that conditioning and that agility is a big deal. We don't have a team built on monster trucks. We don't have guys who are just killing it in the weight room every day. But we do have some pretty good athletes. We're more of a sports car. So when that sports car came out and we hit the gas and it just sputtered, we were like, uh-oh. But it's gotten a lot better. The kids are remembering, like, you know, you establish traditions and then you take 6 months off of them. It takes a little while to do that. As a teacher or as a mechanic or whatever, if you take 6 months off your job, your first week back is probably not going to be something that you're extremely proud of. But I am proud of the kids that we have and the fact that they're bought in. And, like, they don't mind going right back to it. They just have to be reminded.
You know, past few days especially, it's been an interesting set of news releases, if you will. How frustrating has it been? Because you see all these rallies happening. You saw what the governor said yesterday, and then he comes out with another comment today saying positivity rate has to be basically at zero for us to have any hope of having football even in the spring. You know, what emotions come in you the past week especially?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster, isn't it? So this weekend, we started to get this kind of hint that there was a rally somewhere up north, and there were two more scheduled this weekend. And you get kind of excited, and then you start like, okay, well, what does that mean for us? How do we accelerate our schedule? And then yesterday he comes out and says, you know, like, I don't see any way that we're going to have football in the fall. That's just not going to happen. And so, like, okay, well, that gets extinguished pretty quickly. But I got to tell you, like, it has been that kind of thing for a long time now. It's like, well, in 2 weeks this is going to happen. And then we're going to have these pods. And then we're going to move from pods to 50. And then we're going to move from 50 to actual practice. And it seems like when you plan for it, and then it just doesn't happen. And then today the announcement is just puzzling to me completely, because that, like, sitting at fall or spring football is where we've been for a long time. And there's been absolutely nothing that has changed in the interim. Like, nothing is different today than it was 3 weeks ago. And that plan's been sitting on a desk. And so I don't know if this is just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to a lot of people, like, wanting to rally and kind of be on top of this. And maybe they're just saying, hey, look, just put the brakes on it. We're not going to talk about it until we're closer. I don't know what the motivation for that is. But, I mean, there are a lot of things that are happening right now, a lot of gatherings and groups and those kind of things that I feel like, you know, they may not be tackling each other, but, you know, there's still proximity, like, people are getting close, and I just don't understand why there would be a movement for that. And I think that I still am pretty confident when people ask me, I'm sure that we will have spring football, but this is kind of, you know, worrisome, like what? A zero positivity rate, you know, like, I don't know that we'll be able to do anything for the next 3 or 4 years.
How frustrating is it overall, you know, with the politics and everything, especially this summer? You know, it looked like we were going to, and then a few days later it wasn't, and then IHSA just says, we don't want a part of it, we're going to let the governor handle it. How frustrating has it just been in the political game?
Oh, I think that it's been really frustrating, and I think that it's really indicative of where we are kind of as a society, that when we get into knockdown, drag-out fights about science and those kind of things, like, it just seems like I don't want everything to be agenda-driven. Like look at the science and say, okay, like, this is it safe? Is it not safe? If you deem it as safe, let's just make it happen. Like political opinions on either side of the aisle shouldn't have to do with how we do our jobs. Like, at some point, you have to have some risk. And, you know, like, the idea is not to be COVID-free. The idea is for the hospitals to be able to handle the patients, from what I understand about the science. And I feel like that should be the target. That should always be the target. That should have always been the target. And that target shouldn't move based on how the wind blows, blue or red. Like, find it, set it, and let us work towards it, and leave it alone otherwise.
Absolutely. Especially the comments today, I saw something that said, you know, it's gotten to the point where the goalposts aren't moving now. There is no goalpost. But kind of shifting the focus now, 7-on-7 football is considered medium risk as opposed to tackle football being a being high risk and really having all these hurdles to get over. If things don't get better because of this pandemic, could you see maybe 7-on-7 taking the place of tackle football in the spring?
You know, I think that that would probably be like a worst case scenario. I think that, kids are going to want to, I mean, like, kids and coaches are going to want to do something. So, you know, like when we talk about wearing a mask during drill, like that's something that this time last year I would have thought was the craziest thing in the world. That's never going to happen. And so if we get closer and it means that our seniors, you know, guys like Darius Ragland and Will Bowlby, if they get a chance to go out and play chess against another team, then we're going to endorse it. We're going to gear up, and we will be like the most ferocious chess team that we possibly can, because those kids deserve a shot to do whatever it takes to get them back on the field. And even if it's 7-on-7 or touch football or like I said, ultimate frisbee, I want those kids to suit up for Carbondale again, because they certainly earned that right to do so.
For those that maybe don't keep up with the intricacies of football and all the practices that go in, what's the difference between 7-on-7 and tackle football?
Well, 7-on-7 is just, it's only passing. So there's no running game there, and there's no offensive line and defensive line. So in a way, that would be an attractive option, I would guess, if you're going to go that route, because there's less contact. It's much more, like, so from a practical perspective, it is a good way to work your defense, because you can get the passing game against your defense, and you can work some timing stuff on offense. But without a pass rush, it doesn't really matter. I've seen some teams who look really great in 7-on-7, and then you put a defense in front of them and not so great. You know, like, some coaches will actually even change their playbook to go to these 7-on-7s and run plays they won't run in the regular season. So it is like football light. It is football with much less contact, much more technical expertise, and probably showcases speed more than a typical football game would.
When those spring schedules started coming out, when we thought we had a handle of everything a few weeks ago, I think a lot of people in Jackson County had a oh no reaction, because that Jackson County rivalry between Murfreesboro and Carbondale wasn't in the opening week, not even on the schedule at all. How disappointing is it for you to not be able to go up against the runner-up for a team that, I know they graduated a lot of seniors, but still that program right there, they've got a lot of talent there, and you lose a quality opponent.
Yeah, I'm not only surprised, I mean, I think I was shocked. Like, this all came out, and I got a text message from Harrisburg's coach saying, hey, we're not going to play you. Really have enjoyed it, appreciate it. And so that was the first I'd heard that, like, people could even pick their own opponents. And I've got to be honest, like, I feel like it's a very odd thing that you can just kind of cherry pick your schedule. And I understand for some reasons why you have to do that with COVID regions. But I will just be honest, I was really shocked. I mean, there's a whole lot of hype and hoopla that goes into that county rivalry. And I remember that 100th anniversary game, you know, like we almost everything but the 101st Airborne jumping onto the field. And then just to let that go without, I mean, I, as far as I know, there was really not a whole lot of consultation. We were surprised by that. But, you know, we it's left us in a bad spot. Right now, we just have conference schedule. Like, it seems like all of our non-conference decided they didn't want to play. And so right now we have 5 games, and our athletic director, Coach Albertini, is working really hard to get that. And I think we may have secured a 6. We may play Breeze Modern Day. But yeah, I mean, there's just a whole lot of talk about that rivalry, and to see it evaporate without a whole lot of just talk, and it was very shocking.
So I've always been confused by who you can and can't play, but it sounds like from what you're saying, you'll be able to play Cahokia and Altoff.
Yes, yeah, from what I understand as well. And, you know, like you said, it changes all the time. There is this idea of a COVID region, and I look at our region, and Cahokia we should be good with, Belleville Altoff will be good with, because we're making the assumption that there will be a little bit lessening of that as we go on, and as other sports kind of go out and do their thing, we can see that. So we're expecting that not to be a problem conference-wise, but, you know, like, we go on to the open dates, and, you know, there's a team in Chicago, and we're even, like, thinking, okay, well, maybe we meet somewhere halfway there, but we're just not sure exactly how that's going to work yet.
You know, it's always scary when you get a talented underclassman quarterback coming back for another year, for all the other teams, not for you specifically, but, you know, Darius Ragland, he's going to be coming back. He was great at quarterback for you, taking over that spot. And then he's great as a corner as well. He showcased his ability at even the national level for, the 16U team, I think, yeah. National level. You know, one more year for him, how high of a ceiling does he have?
Yeah, it's so funny that, like, he is maybe the best defensive back south of Springfield, and he never gets to play that position. And that just gives, first of all, that gives you an idea of the character of a kid like that, that we've never heard him say a word. Like, he's not on my hip on the sideline saying, can I get in on defense? Mm-hmm. He knows that he is our best option at quarterback. And as he has grown and he has gotten more, like, he now, like, colleges will talk to him, and he refers to himself as a quarterback, that he has made that move. And with his character and with his work ethic and his leadership, his ceiling's unlimited. And you put him in the same backfield with who's Gabe Hillard, who's just going to be a junior this year, rushed for 1,200 yards last year. Like, I think that only makes Darius better, because that's two people that you worry about running the ball every play. So I don't think, just based on his hard work and character, his ceiling is what he wants it to be. Like, he's a great kid, one of the best kids I've ever coached in 24 years.
Final question for you, Coach. I know this is in the back of every Illinois football coach's mind right now, but in the event that you do get this spring 2020 season or 2021 season, how can you prepare for fall 2021? You know, I feel like that's going to be an even more bizarre offseason than this 16-month offseason that you have, because it's going to be potentially May 1st and then turn around and it's August 27th, 28th, something like that. That's such a short time frame, and you could get burnout, you could get guys injured, you know, it's just so many different things.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a great question. I think the other question that Illinois coaches are asking themselves, we're getting our contact days, like, we're out here right now, helmet, shoulder pads, it looks like football, but that's going to end in October. So we have November, December, January, and half of February. Like, we're not the leadoff anymore. Like, we're going to be getting kids who are in other sports. And so what does that look like? And we're trying to figure out what that bridge looks like to make sure our kids are ready for what's going to be a very short amount of practice before we start playing games. And then you're absolutely right. Like, they're going to go from this, and then we have some kids who play baseball. We have kids who do track. They're going to literally, like, be finishing up their seasons and starting football. So, yeah, there are injury concerns there. There are burnout concerns. We don't want kids to feel like football is the only thing that's going on in their life, or that they're pressured to, hey, you guys gotta, you know, not have any kind of social life. You guys have been pinned up. Think about that. Next summer is going to be the first time some of these kids can go on vacation. And I'm not the kind of coach, and we're not the kind of program that's going to tell kids, we need you to miss those vacations so you can be here for football. So what we'll have to do is be flexible. We'll have to figure out, like, just we'll have to look at it and measure where we're at and the best way to get what we can get out of the kids without putting them in a position where they have to feel like they're just overwhelmed. Because I think that this new learning paradigm is tough for them. Remote learning is tough for them. Hybrid learning is tough for them. So the last thing we want to do is a grown adult men and put them in positions that they have to feel pressured, or they have to feel like, where's my relaxation time? So that'll be something that we'll have to focus on and talk about. And, like, right now we're just too scared to talk about it. We don't want to jinx it because we want the season, and then we'll try to figure that out.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Absolutely, brother.